T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92. The game all across Metro Atlanta, from Alabama to South Carolina, Chattanooga, down to Macon, and of course worldwide, streaming at radio.com. Busy Thursday ahead. Headlines include Major League Baseball, you know, the ongoing debate over the whether or not we're going to have a season here, and the draft, where Jared Schuster is the draft pick for the Braves, and the other four rounds are going to be today. And Major League Soccer's draw is today, this afternoon, to find out who Atlanta United will play and when. And coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll have Jason Longshore, and he'll fill you in on some of the details as to when we can see the first return of an Atlanta sports team, and that will be, of course, Atlanta United. And I think you also read yesterday that Don Garber, the commissioner of Major League Soccer, his intention is to go down to Orlando with all the teams in the league, play this tournament, which the minimum number of games you would play is 3, and the most games you would play would be 7.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they're done with this thing, everybody goes home and we start playing home games.
Okay. Cool. That'd be cool. So we don't have that long to wait before we can see Atlanta United up close and personal.
Yeah, well, somewhere around the 1st of August,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
So somewhere around the beginning of August, you would have Atlanta United playing home games. Now, whether that's with fans or not, whether they play it, if they're not playing with fans, would they play at Mercedes-Benz or at Kennesaw? I mean, I don't know, but they'd be here in town playing games for Atlanta United, which begs the first question of rapid fire this morning. All right, Oren and Abe, are you ready for a little rapid fire today?
Yes.
Throw it at you? Okay. Atlanta United set to return somewhere around the 1st of August. The Braves, by that point, might actually be playing games at Truist Park, we think. We don't know, but we think. So my question is, when they allow fans to go back, okay, and of course that's dependent upon it, but as soon as they allow fans to go back to see these games, what sport do you think? NASCAR, you know, golf, tennis, baseball, soccer, football. What sport do you think, college football, what sport do you think you will be the first to go back to see in person?
What sport do I think,
yes,
I will go back to see
Hugh
in
Douglas.
Person?
Yes, when you will go to a game in person.
Man, I would say baseball. I would say, and the reason why I say baseball, because I'm thinking if I'm going to the game, I'm going to, you know, Truist Park. And for the most part, I feel like I'll have a better chance of social distancing. I know that sounds crazy, and when I say it sounds crazy coming out of my mouth, but I think I have a better chance of social distancing at the park, in certain areas of the park, as opposed to anywhere else, if that makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. That's why, you know, I think it's a great answer. Oren, what do you think the first game that you, Oren Romain, will see in person, or the first event that you will see in person will be?
I'm going to say an Atlanta United match. Yeah, that's my answer. An Atlanta United match.
Abe, you're going to go to an event and see something. What is the first one you're going to see when you say, okay, it's time for me to go to the place to watch the game, to show up and park and walk in and watch the event? What do you think is going to be first on your list? You're just guessing here.
Yeah, I'm in line with you here, I think. I mean – first off, baseball is the one I'm more likely to go to in general, like just anyways. So I start there, and then, like he mentioned, being outdoors, has kind of been recommended a little bit, and so that's probably the one for me.
You know, this is going to be kind of an unusual answer because I'm not sure how comfortable I'm going to be going to an event, you know, for a while. So I think I'm going to go with, if they allow fans to the Tour Championship at East Lake, I think that will be the first time that I will go to an event in person. I'll probably go see, because as you guys know, I am a gigantic, ginormous Tiger fan, and I never want to miss an opportunity to see him in person. So I'm going to go with the Tour Championship at East Lake just to see Tiger.
I thought you was about to say you're a gigantic, ginormous germaphobe, because that's what it kind of sounds like, a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm a gigantic, ginormous, but I am a little bit of one. Story number two in rapid fire. Zion Williamson being sued for $100 million. $100 million. Probably not going to see it, but that's what he's being sued for by this put-upon agent down there, or would-be agent down in Florida. Allegations of pay-to-play at Duke. Now, the guests we know about that we're talking about, these are the ones we know now. Not allegations, one we know about. Give it to Zion and his family. Three luxury cars, a Yukon, an Escalade, and a Mercedes. His family housed in a $950,000 mansion owned by a Duke alum, and, of course, cash to Zion Williamson. So my question, Hugh Douglas, is if all of this is proven, and this is the ones that we know about, at least in the allegations, does this tarnish or even ruin the reputation of Coach Krzyzewski, Coach K?
It's a bad look, but I don't think it ruins it. I think it's a little bit of a blemish. But, John, this is what everybody's doing. You know, it's funny. I think I read somewhere where the judge has ruled, if they go to court, that he has to testify. He has to sit up in front and tell everything. So I think before that happens, he's going to have to break bread with old girl. Like, he's going to have to break bread with her and cool her out before this happens. But as far as a blemish, yes. But this is what happens at big schools. I mean, you know, and I know a lot of people don't want to hear that, and they don't want to think, Hugh Douglas, what are you talking about? Not my school. Yes, if you went to a big school, more than likely your school too. So, yeah, this is just the cost of doing business. And it's unfortunate that for Zion, he didn't know how far down the rabbit hole this lady was willing to go. Like, she pushed her chips all the way to the middle of the table and don't care about who gets the collateral damage, who's being hurt behind any of this, which she shouldn't. You know, he signed a contract. He didn't honor it. She's out for blood. So, yeah, this is a bad look, but I'm pretty sure that some of those Duke alumni and everything, they're going to get together their little coffers, and they're going to make sure that this goes away. They're going to give her some money. She might not get $100 million, but she's going to be very, very comfortable before they go to court. When she calls off the dogs, that she's going to be sit in the catbird seat.
Or in college basketball, scandals have wrapped up no less than Chuck Person, Sean Miller, Bill Self. Now Coach K, does the threat of this Zion Williamson lawsuit, is it going to possibly tarnish or even ruin the reputation of Coach K?
No, Coach K knew what he was getting into when he started recruiting the ones and dones. That's the nature of college basketball these days. Like, if you want to be competitive year in, year out, you got to get the guys that are going to be there for 1 year and then leave. And that's just going to happen sometimes, too. Some of these guys have their own agendas when they come in, and they're going to want money, they're going to want things. And if you want to be a successful college basketball program, you got to know how to play the game.
You know, Coach K, Abe has this immaculate, you know, and Hugh says a blemish. Is that all it's going to be, or is it going to be worse?
Let me ask you a quick follow-up here, John. Did you assume he was cheating before this?
No.
Really?
Okay. Well, I'm with you on this. I assume that all of these guys, not just Kay, all of these guys at that level are cheating. At really any of these top schools, my team included. I felt they were all always doing it. So, to me, this doesn't change anything.
No, I thought that Duke had such a stellar reputation as he did.
You didn't think Duke was cheating, John?
Well, I don't think that Duke knew. I think there was plausible deniability. I mean, of course, everybody cheats. I mean, but when you do it on that kind of a scale, it's impossible not to notice.
Well, when you say plausible deniability, like, okay,
if you're giving $100 handshakes to recruits, that's one thing. I mean, you can say, I didn't see it.
I'll say this. I will say this.
But you got three luxury cars and a mansion. That's kind of hard to not notice.
I'll say this. I think that Coach K did not know directly what was going on. But indirectly, yeah. You know, hey, we're looking at so-and-so. Hey, well, we got to do what we got to do to get him. Okay, don't worry about that. We got that. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. Okay. So, yeah, like, you know that's going on. But, like, he's put himself in position, I think, to make sure that if he's asked a question directly, that he can answer with a clear conscience and say no. But he, but you know something's going on. That's how, put it like that. That's what I think is going on in college football.
Hugh, next question. Which UGA running back is more likely to earn a big honor this season? Zeus, we go back to Greek mythology. Zamir White, first-team All-American. Todd Gurley, first-team All-Pro.
Zeus, first-team All-American.
Oren, you're a UGA guy. You're the resident dog on the show. Which running back more likely to earn a big honor this season? Zeus, first-team All-American. Gurley, first-team All-Pro.
Gurley, first-team All-Pro, just because I don't think you want to have him touch it 250, 300 times, but Zeus can be a lead back this year, so.
Abe, is Zeus going to be a first-team All-American? Gurley going to be a first-team All-Pro? Which is more likely?
Yeah, I think just that opportunity, it's more likely Zamir White gets a true number one workload and is able to get there.
All right, final question in rapid fire today as we go through this. Hugh, you wake up tomorrow with a gift to be able to play a musical instrument like one of the best in the world. You can be playing the violin at the New York Philharmonic. Okay, what instrument, any musical instrument, you wake up with a gift, instrument like you're one of the very best in the world at it, what instrument would you play?
Guitar.
The guitar. Any particular kind of guitar?
All of them. I like to be the best. Every one of them. Like every one of them. Like because immediately when you were asking this question, John, I thought about being Jimi Hendrix and Eric Clapton or somebody like that.
Right.
And being able to play the guitar and woo the women. Like, women love guys that play guitar and, like, being able to do that. So, yeah,
by the way,
definitely that.
I don't know if anybody does play an instrument on our show. Does anybody actually play an instrument really well?
I would say between the two, I got my money on A, but I'm leaning a little bit towards Oren. I bet you Oren plays, like, the flute or something.
I played the recorder in the eighth grade, Hugh. You are correct, and I never played it again.
So you can play, like, you know, guitar like Jimi Hendrix. You can drum like, you know, Phil Collins. I mean, whatever you can. I mean, the great drummers of the world. I'm just, you know what I'm talking about here. Or you play guitar like Slash. You could play the violin by, you know, like Stradivarius. I guess he was a maker, not a player. But anyway, you get the point. You can play a musical instrument like one of the very best in the world. What instrument do you play, Oren?
Oh, this is easy. I'm playing the drums. I'm going to be like Keith Moon. I'm going to be like Dave Grohl. I'm going to be like Clyde Stubblefield. And I already got the fro, so I already got half of the Questlove looked down. So, yeah, I'm going to be a drummer, and I'm going to be the best drummer ever. And then I'm going to rule the world. So, because that's what it is with drummers. Drummers are the best.
All right, Abe, what do you play? Any musical instrument, you're one of the best in the world.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on this. As soon as you asked the question, my first thought was like Jimi Hendrix and guitar. So I think that's where I would end up.
I'm going to sound so lame in my answer here, but it's just something I've always wanted to do. I want to play piano like one of the best pianists in the world.
Piano is not a lame instrument to play, though, John. Very, very hard to play.
I would love to be able to play the piano, and I mean play all that really hard stuff you play on the piano, you know, all the really high-end, you know, because when it's done well at that level with the greatest pianists, I'm always just kind of blown away.
Oh, no, I'm guitar all day.
You know, and you are foxy if you're playing the guitar. I get it. I mean, makes sense. Jason Longshore, he plays analyst like he's one of the best in the world because when it comes to soccer, he is. And he's going to join us live. A lot of questions for Jason surrounding the return of Major League Soccer, the return of Atlanta United, all next after a CBS Sports Minute. Morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92 on the game from the Mobile Kia Studios on this beautiful, sunny, and will it be warm Thursday in June. Jason Longshore, though, getting ready for the heat of Orlando and, of course, the beginning of the soccer season, the restart of the soccer season. Atlanta United analyst joining us this morning, as he always does, on the WayForward.com hotline. Hey, Jason.
What's up, guys? How are y'all doing this morning?
Pretty good. So, Jason, how excited are you to finally get back to soccer, quit talking about all this other friend stuff, and to finally just get back to the sport that you know and love?
Man, I can't wait. I'm glad they got this done. It's a big year for MLS. I mean, this is the 25th year as a league, and what started off as a huge celebration, you know, was completely derailed, and all sports were, you know, all of our lives were. But for MLS, where they are, and looking at what was coming, you know, we go back to January and February and the conversations that we were having about MLS and the growth they've had and the trajectory they're on, and then you have something like this that puts all that at risk. And this is a challenging year for MLS from a business perspective, but by getting this agreement done, getting back on the field, and getting on the field first in the United States in the men's professional sports landscape, that's going to help them. And in this format of going to Orlando for the MLS back tournament, it's unique, and it opens up some possibilities that MLS would not have had for some of the coverage that they're going to get. It's really interesting.
All right, so walk us through. Today there's going to be a draw. Tell us how this is all going to work today and what we can expect.
Yeah, so this tournament is going to take all the teams down to Orlando. Everybody's going to play three games in a group stage. The top 16 teams will go on to a knockout tournament. Those three group stage games will count for regular season matches. The knockout tournament portion will not. The way it's going to go, you've got six groups. Each group has a seeded team. And in the East, the seeds are Toronto, who won the East last year, Atlanta United, who was the semifinalist for the playoffs, the Eastern Conference finalist, and Orlando as a seed as the host team. Out West, it's Seattle who won the West, it's LAFC who lost to them in the conference final, and Real Salt Lake, who was the next best team in the regular season. So they're going to be placed into groups first. And then the other teams, the other 11 unseeded teams in the East, are drawn out. So there is no more seeding past that. So you could see a group of death that we see in a World Cup all the time, where you get, you know, three of the best teams in the conference joining in with Atlanta or joining in with Toronto or joining in with Orlando. So it's going to be wild to see how this goes, because it's completely, you know, up to chance. And Darren Eales told Dukes and Bell yesterday that Carlos Bocanegra is going to be in charge of pulling out those other teams in Atlanta's group. So hoping for all the good luck that Carlos can bring.
So what kind of rule modification do you expect for the tournament to be in Orlando?
Yeah, some minor ones, but they could end up being kind of important. We're seeing all the leagues around the world come back with five substitutions, because everybody, you know, is coming back with a compressed schedule, a different kind of format, and they're coming back for the most part with less training time to prepare. So it's five substitutions, but not five different stoppages of play. So there's only three stoppages of play that you can use to sub, but you can make five changes to your lineup on the field. Halftime doesn't count for that because it's already stopped. The match day roster, instead of being 18, it'll be up to 23. So that'll give you more options to have available on the bench. And that's one of those little things that I think helps Atlanta United, because if you go back to the beginning of the season with the injury issues that they had, they've played more players in the two regular season games we've seen already than anybody else in the league. They've got a lot of guys with some experience, and you can have a deeper bench now. That gives Frank DeBoer more ability to solve problems that occur in a match. That's going to be a benefit for deep teams like Atlanta.
And we've talked about this before, but it's also going to be a benefit, Jason, in that when Joseph got injured in the second game of the season, you also had, you know, to adjust right there on the fly, and now they've had some time to work on how they're going to handle, you know, the attack without Joseph, and so that wasn't so forced into other things, like, you know, it was forced into Mexico.
That's massive, because you go back, Joseph was injured in Nashville. You had a regular season game a week later, and then you had the trip to Mexico immediately after that, and then you were going to have another regular season game a couple days later. So you were looking at trying to figure this out with a bunch of games in a short period of time, and when you have that kind of schedule, you're not able to have the training time to work on it. Well, that's completely changed with this. Atlanta United's going to have more training time than anybody else. And one of the big reasons, another thing Darren said yesterday, that, you know, I've really been impressed with the way this club has been run from day one. They always take advantage of any opportunity that presents itself. one of the reasons why Atlanta is on the training ground in full training right now, where only two other MLS teams are, Miami will be joining them at some point this week, is because they were prepared. You know, they followed all the protocols. They were ready to jump on this when the opportunity came that the training moratorium would be lifted. They did all the paperwork. They worked with the local health organizations. They had the testing ready to go to get players tested so they could do contact training. Now, you're going to have a month of full training before you play, and Frank DeBoer is going to be able to figure out what his options are up top. Adam John, J.J. Williams, playing Pity Martinez up top in a little bit different role for him. We're going to have an idea, or Frank's going to have an idea at least, of what this looks best like now, where, you know, if this hadn't happened, you would have been trying to figure it out and guessing on the fly before you had a break to train.
Talking with, Jason Longshore. Yeah, talk to me about health. You know, having, you know, a chance to not only get healthy but train with, you know, Mateus Hasetu and again to get Miles Robinson kind of back into the full flow of things.
We go back to Mexico City, and you had a back line that out of your five players on the back line, three were not regular starters. I mean, that's huge in a game like that. Everybody's healthy with the exception of Joseph Martinez now. And you mentioned Mateus Hasetu. Add Manuel Castro to that mix as well, who had just joined the team ahead of the trip to Mexico. Now you've got those two players who were big additions in the offseason who are able to train and basically get a new preseason to prepare. This time, and it goes back to the organization being ready to take advantage of it, this time is going to give Atlanta an advantage. And if they get, you know, to choose, if you got to pick the kind of teams you want to face in a tournament like this, you want to face the teams that get the least amount of training time. You want to face the teams that are not ready to be on the field yet and get full training, because you're going to have more time to do that. Your tactics should be stronger going into these games.
Talking with Jason Longshore as we get ready for the draw, 3:30 this afternoon down in Orlando. Eddie, by the way, I know that because fans are asking, you know, always asking, have you had a chance to see Joseph? You know, it's been, what, 2.5 months now? Have you had a chance to see or talk to him at all?
No, I mean, the media is not allowed at all at training, and Joseph has been training separately anyway. He was able to use the facility while he was rehabbing from surgery when other people were not allowed in the facility. We have seen some video of Joseph doing some weight-bearing exercise. That's a good sign. It's way too early to tell, I think, with him when you can be back, but I've said it from day one with this, the longer the season goes, and with the idea of playing 18 more games, which is what's been reported after this Orlando tournament is done, that's going to take you with a playoff after that, you know, through mid-December, maybe early December with an MLS Cup. The longer it goes, the more possibility he has to get back. And you don't know how fit he's going to be. You don't know where that's going to be, but it opens up that door for him. And you know, his competitive nature, he's going to do everything he can to get back on the field this year.
Well, I tell you what, this is a great idea. Don Garber is saying as soon as the tournament's over, we're going to have games at home. Everybody's going to leave Orlando. And so not only are we going to see soccer as early as, you know, the 8th of July, and hopefully maybe that includes Atlanta United, but we may see them as early as kind of early August, right, in Atlanta. So
it's possible. You know, it's definitely possible. And the door is starting to open more and more to fans in the stands in different parts of the country. That's still a huge unknown, but we've got a couple of months to see where things go from now to then.
Jason, as always, do appreciate your jumping into the program. Thanks. We'll look forward to the draw today.
You're the man, good Jason. Day, thanks a lot.
3:30 this afternoon, the draw. Certainly, Dukes and Bell will be covering the draw on their show in terms of when it happens. They'll be reporting the news, so stand by for that at 3:30 this afternoon. Stay tuned to Sports Radio 92 on the game, and as soon as Atlanta United's draw is complete, we will pass that information along to you and be talking about it certainly tomorrow morning, too, right here on The Morning Show. All right, next up, Chad Millman, our guy from the Action Network. Is he expecting Major League Soccer to be kind of a big betting thing, and what does he expect now that the PGA season is back underway? And it is back underway right now as we continue with John and you on The Morning Show next. looking for an edge, you can download the free Action Network app. The app is free in the App Store. Get live odds and expert analysis for every game and every event at Action Network on the app or at actionnetwork.com. And he joins us this morning, as he does every week at this time, on the waitfor.com hotline. And Chad is coming into the program, Hugh, with actual events going on. Hey, Chad.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. So, Chad, have there been any significant odd changes for the NBA since they're getting ready to resume, as far as the championship futures are concerned?
No, everything is relatively the same. Like, you're going to look at Milwaukee, you're going to look at the Lakers, you're going to look at the Clippers, and you're going to look at the Rockets, and those are going to be the four teams that are at the top of sort of the NBA championship futures odds. It's not going to change very much right now just because they still haven't seen anybody come back on the court. And even like in those however many games any of these teams end up playing, you might see some movement in that window. But unless someone gets hurt, unless like one team just looks way, way off, you're pretty much going to see those four teams be the ones that are the biggest favorites heading into the playoffs.
Chad Millman of the Action Network. Well, we're back to some action here this week. Boxing restarted in Vegas. Today, golf is underway, and they've already teed off in the first tournament since they shut down. They're at the Chase in Fort Worth. NASCAR last night. Are you seeing any increased action? Like, did boxing draw anything? Is there more on golf today? Are you seeing an uptick anywhere?
Oh, the golf is insane, guys. Just insane. The golf might be insane just for me. I think I made about 14 or 15 bets heading into today because people are just so excited. And golf is one of those sports that has been getting an increasing amount of action the past couple of years. It just goes back to when DFS became a really big deal in around 2014-15. It started bringing in a much younger audience for golf. And that audience that love golf, DFS, has now become really big golf bettors. And we've covered this a lot of action, and we've got a lot of guys who do this really, really well, including Jason Sobel, who is probably the premier golf writer of his generation. And we've had a ton of coverage heading into Colonial, and I am looking at sort of all of the bets I made right now, and we've just been having a big party. It's been really exciting.
Sorry, Chad. Talking about Chad Millman. Go ahead, Hugh.
Yes. So what has been easy for you to set the lines for? Is it start of the NBA, the NBA restart, or has it been MLS restart?
Oh, it's got to be NBA, right? Like, NBA, everyone pays more attention to. There's a lot more information about it. That's where there's going to be a lot more activity and a lot more interest. MLS, everyone knows how to make those lines, it's not a level of difficulty and degree to the NBA, but in terms of where you're going to feel more comfortable, where you're going to feel like you're going to get more activity. And also, a lot of times it's about the reaction to the line you set. And so you're able to make if you make a line and it's not very good, professional bettors will hit it really quickly. And you can adjust. Whereas MLS, if you make a bad line, depending on who bets it, you might not really get a sense of whether or not it's bad until more people have hit it, and you've got a lot of liability there.
Talking with Chad Millman here, and so you look at these the lines here, this tournament. So is there a favorite right now on the books? I guess you'd have to wait till after the draw today, and then you'll establish the line for the tournament, playoff return, right?
Yeah, there's no real favorite that I've seen yet so far. And to be honest, they just announced, right? So, you'll start seeing a lot of odds in this coming out in the next day or so. But we haven't seen a ton of requests or activity for this yet.
Generally, a lot of action on soccer is mostly still European through you?
Yeah, there's been a nice amount of activity on Bundesliga. People will get really excited for the EPL, but MLS just isn't something that has the same level of interest as those leagues.
Talking with Chad Millman of the Action Network as we look ahead to some of the events that are going on. Golf is underway today. Noticed here that the World Series of Poker is going to be held online. Boy, I tell you what, Chad. I play online poker, small stakes when we could. There's no chance. I want to play the main event. That's one of the goals of my life, is to play the main event at the World Series of Poker. It's on my absolute, probably one of the top five things on my bucket list, but there's no chance I'm going to do that online. None.
Why not?
It's not that I don't trust it so much, at that level. It's that, to me, the whole point of it is to be in that gigantic room with, however many thousand other people are in your group. That's the whole point of it.
Yeah, look, there is some level of pageantry and sort of vicariousness that comes from being in the moment and being in the room and sort of walking in and feeling sort of something cinematic, right? Because we've seen it so many times, whether it's on television or whether it's in movies, like being at the table at a live event at the World Series of Poker really holds something special. So I do think that because it'll be online, it'll change a little bit of the drama. It'll change a little bit of the emotion. And certainly I think it'll change, it might change how many people feel strongly about doing it. It's different when you're a huge poker player and you're just doing it, you're doing the tournament because you feel like you can win, you have an edge, it's your professional livelihood. But when you're someone like you, John, who's wants to play in it because of the pageantry, it loses a little bit of the luster.
To piggyback on that a little bit, Chad, when it kind of changed the way that you play too? Because isn't part of poker the whole thing is like bluffing? The bluff is like a big deal.
Yeah,
I think
look,
it would be kind of a little bit harder to bluff.
Reading your opponent is a massive part of playing poker. And I don't know if you guys know this. There's a guy named Phil Ivey who is probably, considered still to this day one of the best poker players in the world. And I, about 7-8 years ago, did this story for ESPN where I traveled around the world with Phil Ivey, watching him gamble and play poker and all this kind of stuff. And it was amazing. And he is as cool as it gets. But what he is really good at is intimidating his opponent. And you can see these, you can go online and see this on YouTube and stuff, but when Phil Ivey just gives you a look, people literally, they start to itch, right? You can see people start to scratch their faces, they scratch the back of their necks, and that's a real powerful skill to have when you're playing poker, and to be able to do that against your opponent is it's such an advantage. You can't do that when you're doing it in Zoom. You just can't.
There's a question on here that I find just odd. It says, are you seeing a lot of action on Drew Lock MVP? Is that how I read this?
Yeah. I saw Abe sent that to me, the producer, Abe Gordon sent that to me, and I was like, not really.
Okay, good.
I think the question he's asking is what are some surprising bits of action we've seen, and maybe specific to the NFL, now that we're through schedule release, we're through free agency, we're through the draft. And there are some bets, all of a sudden the Jets under is getting pounded because their schedule is so hard. You're seeing the Chargers under get pounded because they have a hard schedule and they're without Phillip Rivers. And the flip side is you're seeing the Colts over taking some bets because the schedule is favorable to the Colts, and they have Phillip Rivers, who, he's not the best quarterback in the world anymore, but he's still really good, and he's going to have a talented team around him. So a lot of guys are playing the odds there.
I got to go back to this World Series of Poker, Hugh. Chad, I took so much crap here, especially from Oren Romain, that I said that if I was playing the World Series, okay, and if I do play the World Series and I get into the main event, all right, it's the opening hand at the opening table for me. If I get dealt pocket aces and somebody in front of me goes all in, dude, I'm folding.
What? So dumb, John Freaky. It's so dumb.
No, it's not. If you've never had aces cracked, I am not going to have my aces cracked by some yahoo who's going in with, Jack 10 suited and hits a set on the flop. That is not going to happen to me.
You're not going to let that. Listen, that is really hard to overcome. mentally it's really, really tough. And so if you want to play it that way in the opening hand, I totally get it. The goal of the World Series of Poker is, and there's a woman named Maria Konnikova who has an amazing book coming out. And we can talk about it next week because I'm talking to her next week in my podcast. Because she spent a year training for the World Series of Poker, and she's an expert in behavioral psychology, right? And so she wanted to see how she could sort of manage what she knows about psychology and those elements of her life against the World Series of Poker. And she makes a really good point in the beginning of this book that the goal is just to end the day with enough chips to get the next day. It's a multi-day event. You don't have to win it all on the first hand, and you don't want to lose it all on the first hand. And it's also really an exercise in like mental exertion and mental stamina. Like, it is not easy to be in those rooms for hours and hours at a time, and the mental gymnastics required to be thinking on every single hand, every single time a card is drawn, is really challenging.
I'm not gonna take the risk. I don't know how small it is of paying $10,000 or whatever it's going to be by the time I get there to play one hand of poker. No, sorry.
That's exactly it, and not even that. One day, like, you want to stick around. You
right.
Want to get your money's worth. That's how I feel about golf. I go out there and take as many strokes as I can. It's expensive to play golf. I wanna you know, get my money's worth.
You and me, everybody else out there that's not named Tiger Woods. Chad, it's always a pleasure. I do appreciate you dropping in.
Thanks a lot, Chad.
Talk to
you later. Bye-bye.
I'm never going to live that down for more.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. A little weird. A little bit.
Still to come on the program, Will Carroll, our injury expert. We're going to ask him about Todd Gurley getting the clean bill of health. That'll happen in about 20 or so minutes. All ahead of, the big news today, which is a lot of sports starting to break here, golf and whatnot, and what Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, said about forcing the hand of the players and the owners. All ahead with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game, and, of course, worldwide at radio.com.
Money, 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 money.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.